Hey there, welcome back to the Inside Running Podcast. Today we've got an interview, something we wanted to get going at the start of 2024, but it's taken a few months to finally get some interviews teed up and organised. So on the weekend, you're going to hear the second part of Inside Running for your week, I guess. The main show still goes out on Wednesday to the public and Monday night to Patreon supporters. And then we're hoping to have an interview every weekend, be early again for Patreon supporters as well. But the interviews are going to be long form, like they were in the original days of the Inside Running Podcast. And we're also going to re-release, so do some throwback content from some of the interviews we've had over the years. I speak to a lot of listeners who have discovered the show over the last year, maybe year and a half, and have never listened to our back catalogue because it's kind of hard to find. So Podbean is the place to find every single episode, but I do understand that Spotify and iTunes, they only show like the most recent like 50 or 70 episodes or whatever it is. And I know that people are in their ways and like sticking with their Spotifys and their iTunes and things like that. So we're going to bring them to you. So names like Rod Dixon, Bernard Legat, Ross Murray, the original interview we did with Ali Pashley, my original interview with Moose and Croaks back on Tell Me Your Tales. They're going to be some of the interviews that are going to come out throughout the probably next 6 months. We've got a whole list of names that we brainstormed. Tin Man, remember when Croaks interviewed Tim Swartz? That's going to come back as well. So yeah, whole lot of like re-released interviews sprinkled in there with some new long-form interviews that we're putting together throughout 2024. And just so the weekly show doesn't go for like 2.5-3 hours, we thought we'd split it between two episodes. So this one, Jake Barraclough, I interviewed him on Monday morning, just gone. And we were going back and forth, like a couple of messages back and forth. He's doing some crazy training. He moved to Japan. He's a British guy. You'll be able to hear that in his accent. Moved to Japan to pretty much run 1,000 Ks every month and just make mileage the absolute king. And he's seen like this dramatic improvement in his running. He's now running, 29.30 for 10K, 65.5 for the half marathon, and got big goals for the marathon, which we talk about all that. And I really wanted to talk to him about what it's like living in Japan, not being a Japanese runner, but just doing everything that the Japanese do. So I hope you enjoy this. He's going to be in action at the Gold Coast Marathon. He's got some pretty big goals leading into Gold Coast. So we do mention his socials and his Strava at the end of the interview. So make sure you check him out there if you're interested. And a massive support. Thank you for the support, listening to the Inside Running Podcast. Patreon supporters, we have two monthly episodes getting recorded tonight. I'm talking on Wednesday, the 10th of April. The Road to Berlin boys are getting together. So Paddy, Rob, and Jimmy Friend, they're recording an episode. And I'm also recording with Christian and Toby, the bad boy formerly from Ballarat, to talk about everything that's been going on in the running world with those two. A massive thanks to the people who got involved on our Patreon page about who would you pick if you were the selector of the Australian women's marathon team. It was awesome reading some of those comments and justifications why you chose those three ladies that you chose. And I thoroughly enjoyed scrolling through those ones there as well. The final thing I wanted to mention, Croak spoke about it in the weekly episode, and this was pretty cool. He spoke about a video production company, North South, who were making like this mini documentary on the Canberra Marathon, which has just gone last weekend. Since he spoke about that, I watched it last night and it was absolutely brilliant. I have nothing to do with the company. I don't know who's behind the company. But I watched this like five and a half minute documentary, and I was blown away by how good it was. And this is a race that doesn't really celebrate at all the winners or like puts an elite field together, but the way they told the story of the people who were, you know, competing for the win at Canberra, and not one in ridiculously fast times either. Yeah, I thought it was so good. So yeah, I'll say that again, North South on Instagram is where you can watch this like 5.5 minute yeah, mini documentary about Canberra Marathon. Croaks is on there. It's put together so, so well. And I think if you like running content and listen to this podcast, you are really, really going to enjoy that. Anyway, that's enough from me. Enjoy this chat with Jake Barraclough, all about running as many Ks as possible and the Japanese running culture. Cheers, guys.
No problem.
All right, this week's interview on the Inside Running Podcast is a UK runner who finds himself now in Tokyo. If you're following him on Strava, he's a bit of a machine with the Ks he's putting out, which has seen an improvement in his running over the last 6 months. He's just come off his third week of our 250 Ks of training. Jake Barraclough, welcome to the Inside Running Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, mate. I'm a big fan of the show. Yeah, listen every week. Always got the podcast on and my easy runs.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I must admit to the listeners that this kind of chat come out of a bit of back and forth direct messaging that we were doing last week. And I thought, I've just got to talk to this guy. Like, instead of continuing these DMs, I'm pretty sure our listeners would find about your story super interesting and how you've improved so much with this high mileage approach and kind of how you find yourself in Japan. So I'm looking forward to jumping down some rabbit holes and talking about running for the next 30, 45 minutes.
Oh, I'm buzzing. Yeah, it's rare that in Japan I get to speak English, let alone chat about running. So it's fun for me too.
Yeah, and I want to get to that a bit later on. Like, well, maybe go there. Like, first, how you found yourself in Japan? Obviously, you got the UK accent. I think you kind of ran as a junior, like 2009, 2020. You've got some results on the internet, and then you kind of found yourself in the States for college, and now you found yourself in Japan running.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different journey. So the Japan part was, I somehow managed to get myself into this scholarship program. It's like a connection between the UK and Japan, and they send over sort of 6 or 7 scholars every year, and it's any kind of different field. So there's lawyers, bankers, doctors, like all kind of different things, and you just got to show that you've got some interest in Japan and how you're gonna effectively like bridge the gap, like help connections between Japan and the UK. And so my sort of area of expertise, if you can call it that, I basically just bullshitted my way somehow on. But it's my master's was business, especially in sports marketing. And so my kind of pitch to them was, I want to learn about the Ekiden culture over here, because running's huge in Japan. And then see how we can apply that to back in the UK and like the Western world, because it's so much more popular here. They've got a whole, all these business teams set up. So it's just, it's pretty interesting, yeah, the more you find out about it. So that was how I managed to get on this scholarship program. So it's like fully funded. So the first year I'm at university learning Japanese, which is absolutely impossible, but it's pretty much full time, like maybe 30 hours a week of Japanese, like classes and homework and stuff. And the idea is at the end of a year, you're at reasonable level Japanese to then work for a company in Japan. But I'm kind of using it as a couple of years to go all in on the running, train with, some of the guys out here, and basically see how quick I can get.
Okay, so it's more of a short-term than long-term thing?
Yeah, so the program's like just under 2 years, and then we'll see what happens after. The dream would be to be quick enough to join one of the like professional teams out here. But the tough bit is you can only have one foreigner on each team. So they go get all the Kenyans, Ethiopians. Yeah, so it's a little challenging there. But yeah, we'll see what happens at the end of this time.
Well, I'll go through your PBs to let the listeners know. Kind of disregard this 5K-er, because I think your 10K first 5 or last 5K would be quicker than your official, I think, 5K PB of 14:57. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think I closed in like a 14:30 during that 10K.
Yeah, which was 29:33 in December 2023.
That's it, yeah.
And then your half marathon from November 2023 was 65:35, the Garo City half marathon, which is the one where all the college athletes from Japan, like that would have got you like 300th position in the end, wouldn't it? Like that 65?
It's mad, yeah, it's stacked. I was probably back maybe 120th.
Okay.
So yeah, not even touching the top 100.
Yeah, so that's incredible. And then you got a DNF from Osaka. I was just saying off air that I'm pretty sure we locked eyes in the warm up that day. We've heard quite a lot about Osaka and the DNFs that occurred that day, and I think you were carrying a bit of a niggle going into it.
Yeah, it was a bit of a rough one. The 6 months prior, unbelievable, like didn't miss a day, perfect training, and then just classic, about 3 weeks out, my Achilles flared up and had to take some time off for that. And then coming back, I basically couldn't do much speed work. Just was getting so much pain in my calf Achilles. And it was, I thought, oh, I might as well just still race it. We can see. But yeah, it got rough from about 25, 30K, which I think, yeah, a lot of people in Osaka started struggling that cold weather. It was brutal. So yeah, I hit the wall, had to pull the plug at 30, save myself. Still had to jog it in though, which was pretty rough, the last sort of 12K or so.
Yeah, well, even guys like me who were racing it in, we were pretty much jogging it in anyway. So yeah, I can understand the pain. I'm glad you had a bad experience at Osaka, because it kind of just fits with the narrative that a lot of us also experienced that day, and it wasn't just a one-off for individuals. So looking at your PBs, this, you know, massive improvement. So when you ran your 5K PB, 14:57, in June 2023, you were still in the UK. So that's before you've moved to Japan and then got on this like high mileage approach. Is that right?
So actually, about a year and a half ago, before I'd been training basically as an MMA fighter. A little bit different background. I was about 80 kg, so I've dropped in maybe like 15 kg of upper body, and I was ready to go all in on the running. And then I tore my hip labrum, so I had to have surgery and like 8 months out. So I actually only started running again a year ago after having 8 months off. So then I think that 5K PB was set after maybe like 3 months of running, 4 months of running. So I was kind of building up from literally scratch, from zero, to like 5 miles the first week, 10 miles the next, like gradually up to where I'm, I think leaving for Japan, I was up to maybe 200K a week, probably just over. So I was kind of, I'd started, yeah, just getting into that big, big mileage. So that is kind of a different build because of this hip thing.
It's pretty remarkable. Like, your PBs are very similar to mine for the 10K and the half, and I've kind of been uninjured training pretty consistently for like 10 years to get to those times. And it's not like you've got, like, sometimes we see this with people who are just super talented, and you can often see it in their junior results that they were kind of like freakish junior kids. They've gone away from the sport, they've chucked on a bit of training, and then all of a sudden they've kind of hit some half respectable times. But for you, do you put it fully down to the embracing this high mileage approach of like 200K plus weeks every week, pretty much?
Yeah, like, so as you said, like a junior, I was decent, but definitely not nowhere near the top. I've got no speed whatsoever. Like, I've never broken 2 for the 800, never broken 4 for the 15, like just absolutely no wheels whatsoever. So it's definitely that sort of long grinding endurance approach. And I just, before coming to Japan, I started learning about and reading about some of the training out here and hearing about, yeah, hitting these 1,000 kilometer months. That's kind of the big, like, goal for a lot of the pros out here and the teams. It's sort of gold standard, like 1,000K a month. If you can like smash that out, you'll get fit. And I was like, I thought, yeah, I'll give it a go. And I think it's going to sound funny, but I think my background in MMA, so from just years and years of getting my legs absolutely kicked to pieces, doing like kickboxing and everything, it creates all these little micro fractures, like in your shins, at your feet, all the bones that then grow back stronger. So I'm convinced that that's why I'm able to handle the mileage. Like, I've never touched wood, had any kind of stress related things. The only trouble I have is occasionally with muscle, with like my calf, but I think the durability wise, just because my legs are, they're not your typical like skinny runner legs. I'm definitely a bigger build, and I think that's just helped with the durability to then handle. Like for me, I've just found, yeah, the more mileage I do, the quicker I get. Actually, that 10K you mentioned, that was at the end of a 250K week. So there was no like taper, nothing for that. That was just, I was more like training for the half marathon, full marathon. And I've just found, yeah, as long as I can keep that mileage up, I'm just getting fitter and fitter.
And then what does when you're running that amount of Ks, what does a like week look like? Is there just a whole lot? I know it's all on your Strava and stuff, but not everyone will have the time to click through and look at every single individual run. But maybe explain to us what a standard Monday through to Sunday looks like when you're trying to get to 250K for the week for a 1,000K month.
Okay, yeah. So the classic format, pretty much kept this the whole way through. I like my set formula, and it's some Monday long run, usually 35 to 45K. And that's usually a steady pace. So between maybe 3:40 and 4 minute Ks. And then Tuesday's easy day. So every day apart from Monday will be a double day. So like Tuesday will just be easy, maybe 20K in the morning, 13 in the evening. Wednesday's my like speed day. I've not got a lot of speed, but trying to work on that at the moment, trying to build up some of that more speed work. So maybe in the morning, K reps or 2K reps, something like that. And then I've been getting to the double session days. So doing like 400s on the track in the evening. So really like overloading that Wednesday. So I'm absolutely knackered by the end of that. But
what kind of paces are we talking? Like that Norwegian model where it's a bit, you back off a bit to be able to get more rather than like the quick quality?
The Japanese approach, they're not on the threshold type thing at all. So I've been trying to move towards it, but usually I end up just smashing it as hard as I can pretty much in the morning. So when I was in kind of my best shape at the beginning of this year, example might be 10 by K off a minute in 2:55 in the morning, and then something like 16 by 400 in 68 seconds off a 30 second jog. That might be like a classic day. So I wouldn't say it's threshold. I'm definitely hitting some serious lactic during that.
Yeah, that's a big day. Like 10 by 1K at 10K pace, and then probably 16 fours at 5K pace.
Yeah, so it's Thursday's a struggle, definitely. But I like to Thursday get my like midweek, mid-long run in. So maybe 25 to 30K. And that's kind of a steady pace, maybe 3:50 to 4 minute K. So if I don't mention the pace, it's really slow. So on all my doubles, all my easy days, it's usually 4:30s to 5. So it's like, it's really like a job, like complete recovery, take the easy days easy, and then go hard on the bigger days.
That's a lot of fatigue. Like that's a big Wednesday, and then you're still putting steady onto the Thursday. Like that must be, feel like you're working a lot.
Yeah, the Thursday is definitely off feel. So if it's been a very hard Wednesday, the pace will be slower. But I kind of get into the rhythm. It's a dead flat route as well. I usually head out to the river, get on a nice flat route. And I know that I've got Friday recovery. Another thing, I seem to recover very quickly. So even if I'm absolutely dead one day, just a good night's sleep, and the next day I'm usually able to go again. So yeah, I'm killing myself sort of Wednesday, and then also my Saturday session. But then just having like a Friday really easy, Sunday really easy, Tuesday easy is kind of enough to just about survive the weeks.
So then a Friday, would that have to be super? Did you say that's going to be hard or easy?
Easy, nice easy. And easy. Yeah, Friday's into the Saturday recovery. Hard. Into exactly. And then Saturday's the more marathon type workouts. So all these workouts are around this 1K loop. This is the Japanese style, which like back home in England, we'd always do it on like a big open field or some trail, something like that. But it's crazy. We'll do like a 40K long run sometimes around a 1K loop. Just it's more like mental training than anything. So Saturday might be when I was building up for Osaka. The best session I did was 3x10K, all in under 32. So that's I think it's 2:14 marathon pace. So when I was in sort of my best shape, and that's with a K float in between each. And so yeah, it'll be some kind of like longer, harder session usually on that Saturday, and then again easy recovery Sunday, and that gets you pretty much to 250.
I'm tired just hearing about it.
I'm basically permanently exhausted.
Well, that's and are you doing a lot of this stuff solo, or have you got a bit of a group? Like, yeah, you've mentioned the Japanese way a couple of times. Like, are you, jumping in with another group of people doing the same thing?
So I've got my so the 2 session days, so Wednesday and Saturday is with a group. So I managed to get in with this. They're a group of kind of semi-elite runners. So a few of them used to be on these like professional teams before, and now have like retired from the more competitive side. They're still like rapid, but they're now most of them I'd say are around 220 marathon to 215. At the quickest end, I'm now kind of at the front of the group, but I'll usually try and work my sessions around so I'm running with people. I think it makes such a big difference having like a group there. So yeah, I'll usually for that Wednesday, Saturday, we'll be with people.
Yeah, and then you do a lot of jogging, just listening to your body on the other days.
So I'll just whack in a podcast. Occasionally meet up with there's a few Westerners in Tokyo. There's a uni group as well who. In more like a casual group I'll meet up with occasionally. But yeah, it's a lot of just sort of solo jogging.
Does it get lonely over there? Like sitting in classes, learning Japanese, a lot of running solo. Like it's cool that you're pursuing this because it sounds very interesting, but at the same time, like, are there times where you get lonely?
No, I'm not too bad. So luckily my classes, so I'm in this like Japanese language school. So everyone's actually foreigners in
Okay.
that. So I've got like mates that speak English, who we'll meet up with outside of class and stuff. And then on my team, so they're all Japanese on my like running team. It's quite, and some of them speak, one of the guys is kind of nearly fluent in English. So I can get a, I try and use my Japanese. I'm still not good at all. It's so hard, but use kind of a mix of broken Japanese English. So I feel, yeah, that you can get a fair amount of that conversation, but definitely, yeah, it's different to being in the UK or like, yeah, back home.
Have they explained to you why they love those like short loops? Even like when I've been in Tokyo, like everyone's just doing laps of the Imperial Palace, and it doesn't even is it
Oh,
Imperial Palace? Like they just love loops. Like it's not like it looks good the first couple of times you go around it, but it's very common in Japan, I guess, to do those loops.
yes, and our one's even smaller. I don't know if you know Yoyogi Park. So it's like a, so they've got a 1K middle loop and then there's like a 3K trail around the outside. So I'll try and always for my doubles get on the trail. I mean, I've asked them like why they do it here. I think the problem with Japan, the way the cities are mapped out, there's so many stop signs and like traffic lights. It's just a nightmare. If you try and do any kind of quick running anywhere else, then you just end up stopping every minute. So they, you kind of have to get on one of these contained loops. It's why for my long runs, I'll always get the train out to the river, because you can just get a free, like uninterrupted 40K or whatever on the river. But they always, yeah, even on their easy days, they'll head to the Yoyogi Park and do, yeah, just laps around this tiny loop. Whereas I'll always get out for, like, I couldn't do that. It's insane.
But that must be great at just switching the mind off and just doing it.
Yeah, you kind of get in the rhythm, just get on the train, like a, if there's a big pack of us during a workout. And it, you do, it, like, you'd think it'd be boring, but it does kind of tick by. You're just like one person will take a lap, head to the back, next person will take a lap. See, I think it's good, like mental training too.
I saw on your Instagram, I think you like listed three races that your big goals were for 2024. So Osaka being the first one, Gold Coast Marathon the second one, and then Fukuoka or Valencia, the third marathon you wanted to target. With some ambitious times, 2:15, 2:12, and then 2:10 by the end of the year. Given that Osaka already hasn't panned out in that 2:15 and you got the injury leading in, are you altering things? Like, are you worried that like it's not going to happen? Like, it's one thing to do the training and it looks sexy on Strava, but if you don't nail it on race day, it kind of doesn't work in a way.
Yeah, that's true. I think the way I see it, like, so my dream's to make a career from running if I can somehow. So I'm basically going to do as much as I possibly can to get to that 2:10 level. I don't know how long it's going to take, but the way I can see it is if I train harder than, if I do more mileage than all of the pro runners, which I think at the moment I can't see many other people doing, be able to like sustain these sort of 250Ks, then hopefully I can close that gap. And just based off the progression that I have made, I know obviously it's going to slow down, which already it started to taper off, because coming from that sort of MMA background, like losing a lot of muscle, it's easy then at first to get like quicker. You see the massive improvement, but I still think there's definitely more in the tank. Obviously a marathon, it's a gamble. You can't nail all of them. But I'm thinking, it sort of depends on the groups at Gold Coast, but if I can get back in the shape I was in at the start of this year, I think definitely around a 2:13, 2:14 should definitely be doable.
Yeah, I think that'd be, there's usually like a quick pace, like a group going maybe 2:09, 2:10-ish kind of thing, and then it's kind of hit and miss what happens next, especially with the Olympics this year as well. It could be sometimes it's super lonely at that pace at Gold Coast, and other times you might have a nice pack of, you know, a couple of New Zealand guys and a couple of Australians to run with.
Yeah, that'd be good. If we could jump in a little with a group, it does make a difference. I think you're running solo. I was thinking with Osaka as well, just completely isolated, because the Japanese, they just, it's the kamikaze racing style. Like all my training partners do it. I keep asking them why, but just to go out ridiculously hard and then just try and not die too badly. But it seems to be a painful way to run it.
Well, I noticed at Osaka as well, and I've raced in Japan a couple of times, but probably Osaka was the first time I noticed it more. Like, tend to go out kamikaze and also not want to lead. Like, do you notice that?
100%.
Yeah, I was especially like, come on, boys, let's do some stuff. Like, but just, yeah, it was just Aussies at our group.
I was chatting to the group. No, exactly. I was literally, there was two guys with me, and I just, probably because I'm bigger as well than them, they're like, oh, perfect, we've got a windshield here. And so I'm trying to say in Japanese, like I'm knackered, trying to chat in Japanese to them, like, come on, let's work together, let's do this. And this, yeah, absolutely nothing from them. And then eventually they dropped off. So it was, a pretty lonely race.
Yeah. Where does the belief come from in the high mileage? Like, have you studied someone's training program before and thought, you know, this is what's going to work for me?
So I just see it as looking back. So from the UK, like the runners in like the 80s, 90s had that huge mileage approach. And even that's before like the super shoes and everything. And we had runners breaking 2:10, quite a lot of runners. And you think now how few, like in the UK, it is. It's almost like the standard in the marathon's got worse. And the only difference I can see is that no one's really on that huge mileage anymore. And then you look at Japan in comparison, they have like 100 guys sub 2:10. Like they're so much better than just behind basically Kenya, Ethiopia, next is Japan when it comes to like long distance. And just seeing the way that they train, that huge mileage approach, I think that, I bet that basically my belief is the more you do, the quicker you get. Like maybe there's a limit, but it seems to be working so far with me.
Yeah, and it's interesting how when you put yourself in different environments, that almost becomes normal in Japan. Whereas if you were back home doing that in the UK, you'd be like the crazy guy running 250K weeks. If you're doing that in Australia, like every elite and sub-elite athlete would know who you are, thinking this is just, off its rocker, whereas it's kind of the norm there.
Yeah, I mean, still here they think it's a little bit mad. The group I'm with, I don't think anyone's actually over like 160k a week. So I came over with the perception that everyone's hitting this huge mileage. I was like, oh yeah, from what I'd read, because I guess you maybe hear the extremes, but then apparently it's only the sort of professional teams and maybe only during their training camps, like in when they go on these like altitude training camps, summer training camps. So I think it's not quite as extreme as I had originally thought before coming. But it definitely is more normalized to hit 1,000k a month. Whereas, yeah, that's completely unheard of, like in Australia, the UK.
Yeah. What other things are you doing for recovery to keep your body in one piece? Like, you must be shoveling in a stack of food.
Well, yeah, that's the best part. Just get to eat as much as I want, which I think that's as well a good thing. I've got a pretty good appetite. So I usually eat sort of 5 meals a day, like never big meals, but more just like constantly snacking. And so I'm always, trying to get as much in as possible. I find if I have a massive meal, especially because I'm running like twice every day, you just feel horrendous on that second run. But if I can just keep my energy levels up and aim for like close to 5,000 calories a day, then my weight's sort of pretty stable now. I never really measure. Yeah, occasionally once a month I'll check and I'm pretty even. So I feel like it's good. Like I'm definitely getting enough fuel in. And I'll notice it, if one day I'm, like I said, I mentioned before, after a long run, I always struggle eating. I always feel a bit sick after a long run. And I'll notice it the next day if I haven't eaten enough after a long run. I'll just feel so flat on that Tuesday. So I think it makes such a big difference. And then sleep is probably another one I've tried to get better at now. So we, with this group that I'm training with, I'll have to get up at like 5 a.m. for the sessions. Because they finish training straight off to work and I'll go to uni. And so that means that I've got to be in bed by like 9 before those days. I mean, even like a 10 o'clock night's a late one for me now. I'm pretty like dialed in with that.
Yeah, that's good. And have you embraced like the Japanese food cuisine? Or are you still doing
that? It's unreal.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Even like the 7-Elevens and food marts and stuff, like you'd rarely eat the 7-Eleven in Australia, but the ones over there are amazing.
Oh yeah, you can get proper food. It's not like the convenience store back home. So I've barely eaten Western food since coming here. I'm all about the Japanese style.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how it goes with the UK money as well, but like for Australia, everything was super cheap.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's like compared to London, everything's probably half price. My housing here is maybe like a third of what it would be in London. Food's the same. So it's unreal bringing pounds over.
Yeah, and just the people are so friendly and stuff as well. It's a great place to visit.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. It's cool for sure.
What about the sports marketing stuff that you were talking about before? Like, what are the differences you're noticing? Like, we see the Ekidens pull a huge crowd, huge viewership on national TV, and it's like the biggest thing that happens in their sporting calendar around that Christmas, New Year's time. What are they doing that we're not in the UK and Australia and things like that?
Yeah, I think, so before that was what I wanted to learn more about, because it's so hard because everything's in Japanese and the level of English here is so low. That it's so hard to get any information about it if you don't speak Japanese. And I'm slowly getting there, but yeah, definitely I want to improve for sure. But I think there's the team aspect. So you've got, so starting from like high school, they get recruited into sort of running high schools effectively. So they have dorms even for the best high schools. And so the best runners from around the country will join a high school. And that feeds through then into the uni. So they all go to their uni. If they're like taking running seriously, they'll go to like a running specific uni. And it's all focused on this Hakone Ekiden. And it's huge. Like everyone watches it. Even people that have no interest in running would still every New Year's tune into this race. The streets are like lined with millions and millions of people. And I think the people, they get behind the team aspect, because running's, it's a very individual sport, I think, in the West. Whereas here, it's much more like football, like soccer or rugby or something like that, where people get behind their university then, like maybe the uni they graduated from or their local uni, and they'll support that. And then the best runners from that will go through to the corporate teams. So you've got sponsored by like Toyota, Honda, all those teams. So there's all this money going in that you can have. I think in Japan, it's something like 1,000 professional runners, or like they're kind of semi-pro, but basically running for these professional teams. And compared to in England, you might have, I don't know, 10 professional runners that can make like a full-time living from it. So I think just having so much more investment and then interest in these races, because they've got such a long history and like culture behind it. It's definitely a puzzle that I don't know how you'd replicate that in the West.
So that investment comes from the companies, or like, is there some government funding as well?
It's all the companies. So the companies see it as promotion for them. So they race in their company kit. And then this is another like cultural thing, that apparently the teams act as like a morale boost for the normal employees in the company. So like they see their team doing well, and that apparently is meant to help boost the morale in the company. Everyone works together as a team, and it's meant to like sort of uplift them. So the team runners, they don't call them professionals here. They're actually employed to the company. And then when they retire, they'll end up working, a lot of them, for that company. And even some of them do, like after training, will do 3 hours of work at whatever their job is that they're, whatever their company does. So they're almost embedded, in that company. It's a lot more like connected then, in a way. And then, the company like pay their wages.
It sounds like a good system, to be honest, like having something else to take your mind off running for a couple of hours a day, especially if it's a desk job where it's not hard on your body or something like that. It could be, it sounds like a great system.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool because, you finish training, you've got, if I didn't have like uni to go to, I feel like I get so bored just sitting around doing nothing. It's probably quite nice, break it up.
Do they just
like change of pace?
Do they just get around the office like the heroes in there too? Like people just looking at them like, oh, you're the one on the running team. You're the one we watch. You're responsible for building company morale.
Oh yeah, they're the sort of legends. It's funny, after this Hakone Ekiden race, like the big one, I was at this race. I think it was a week after, and at the end of the race, I like finish and see this massive group of girls, like probably 100, 200 girls, all like trying to take pictures of someone. I was trying to work out like, who it was. And it was basically one of the runners on the winning team of the Hakone Ekiden, so a week before, who just won. And he's basically just instantly become like a national hero. And so he's like the Justin Bieber. And you've got all these like college girls, these like school girls trying to get pictures with him, like speak to him. Like you'd never have that. Imagine in England, like I can't imagine anyone giving a shit about any runner like that. So it's definitely a cultural thing here.
Yeah, Moose went to the wrong country. He went to America and did a semester at Chico State. He should have gone to Japan.
Oh, it's a place to be. You're a rock star out here.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure he would have been quick enough to be running those kind of times and get that kind of attention. But but this is your job, Jack. You're the one, you're doing this study. Sports marketing, you've got to somehow give us answers to how we make running more popular in America, the UK, Australia. So sure, there's some things you can like pick up and take over.
Yeah, well, there's a woman who I've met who's starting a UK Ekiden. So she's trying to basically take what has been successful here and then take that over to the UK, which I think is a cool idea. And that's something that I wanted to get behind. So we'll see when I start working. So I finished this like language program in September, and then I'm thinking about how I can sort of, I would like to see how we could take from what's working here, push that over to the West, because the running culture is cool here.
Well, the money and the team concept are the two big ones, aren't they? Like we saw it, the most successful athletics meet that's ever been in Australia, in my time, the last kind of 10, 15 years, was the way that we had this like Nitro Athletics thing, and they had like teams, and Usain Bolt came out and was the team captain, and then they kind of had points that went towards their team scores. And like, you look at every other popular sport, they all have that team component. And obviously Japan have got it and they're nailing that at the moment as well. So look, I don't know if it has to be like an Ekiden race, but there has to be some kind of like team component that the rec runner or the person half interested in running can follow.
Yeah, I think the teams is definitely the key. Because things you've got like club teams, like in the UK, people run for their local club, but it's completely different. It's not like if you're not running for that club, no one cares. No one in that local area is like supporting their local running team. Whereas here, it's much more. It's seen as cool. Like, yeah, these runners are like the rock stars out here. So yeah, I think yeah, wherever you can buy into that team aspect, push that more. I think that's probably the way forward.
Who's in charge of the like the competitions and the leagues and stuff?
So there's like a Japan Athletics Association who like oversee, and then you've got the individual like state areas effectively.
So like Team Honda reports to Japan Athletics Association.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's where I think like I was having this chat with someone the other day and we have this like Athletics Victoria season that goes for like 10 rounds. And someone mentioned, oh, it'd be great if there was like a Netflix kind of like documentary, which is never going to happen. They just watch Drive to Survive and thinking, oh, this would be great for this running season. But our big problem is that it's very difficult for the state bodies to even like come up with promotional work around this, what this team's winning, this is who's in this division. Like they're trying so hard to get people to register and be participants and really try to play that card of this is inclusive and anyone can do these 10 events. So they try to, I'm just saying this from the outside looking in, it seems like the model around let's not promote the competition side of things so that doesn't intimidate people. Whereas in Japan, that is the most valuable thing, the competition. And if you can be the best in the competition, that's where the accolades are.
Yeah, it's definitely you've got like the more community side, so they have like races almost every day, and everyone seems to run in Japan. So like it's super popular there, but then this is like a whole separate thing, like super exclusive. Like you've got to be rapid to join these teams, and they're seen as yeah, a completely different, separate thing to the more like inclusive, like everyone can get involved side. And yeah, it's more like all the casual runners then will have an interest in the professional teams, the university teams, and like follow along with them.
Yeah, so they've done a great job of like connecting the two. Because I often think like I could go down to the local park run in Melbourne and ask them if they knew who Stuart McSwain was or Jess Hull, and they'd probably say no. Like we have a real disconnect between these are our fastest 5K runners in Australia, and you run 5K every Saturday but don't know who they are.
Yeah, no, we're definitely the same in the UK. Exact same thing, like unless it's Mo Farah running down the street, no one's recognizing any other runner in the UK. Like it doesn't matter if they've been to the Olympics or whatever. Yeah, your average person, it means nothing to them. Even like your runners, yeah, exactly, that are doing park run, like they still there's definitely that disconnect.
Whereas in Japan, they're superstars. Got hundreds of girls following you after a race.
Oh, sounds unreal. Legendary. I've got to get on one of those teams.
That's where, yeah. Keep training. Maybe up the train to 300K a week
Yeah.
and see how you go. Now, but what is
We'll go,
next?
we'll go.
What are the stepping stone races between now and the Gold Coast? It's probably, oh, I'm going to have a guess off the top of my head, maybe 14 weeks away, 12 weeks away. It's coming around pretty quick, Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think probably about 14. So I've got a couple races lined up. I've realized the key for me is trying to get my speed up, because the difference between the paces, like between my 10K and my marathon pace workouts, it's so small that I know that I need to keep stepping on the speed to then make that marathon pace feel easier. So I've got a 10-mile race next weekend, and then a half marathon in about a month's time, and then maybe a track 10K in about a month before Gold Coast. It's probably going to be so hot though in Japan then. That's the trouble with it's partly why I picked Gold Coast, because obviously your guys is winter and I'm useless in the heat. So I think races are going to start getting pretty rough out here as it starts getting humid, hot. I mean, already today it's like 25 degrees, very humid. And yeah, I was feeling a little this morning on the run.
How have you looked at the weather for Gold Coast? Like, it's at the top of Australia. It's not that cold there. Sometimes it warms up a bit.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's the, I was looking at, I think last year's, it seems like it sometimes can get a little hot, but they start very early, isn't it? Like 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. start, which has just changed the last couple of years. I think when I did it last year, it was maybe like 15 degrees on the start line and maybe got up to like 18. But the first kind of like 30, 40 minutes, you haven't got any direct sun on you because it's just coming up.
Okay.
But yeah,
I mean, that should be at
it's not a
least as
Sarka
well.
cold.
Yeah.
And
And I've
especially if you're
been
coming out of your
training.
summer.
That's what I'm thinking. It'll be 35 easily here. So hopefully that should feel cool for me
Yeah.
coming over.
You'll get plenty of heat gains. What I was going to ask you before, when you're doing a lot of your workouts and even just your easy jogging, are you putting in like gels as you're going to try to like get as many calories in as possible that way as well?
Only on my long run and my marathon, like Saturday sessions. So apart from that, never. I'll try and always get fuel in after. So like as soon as I've finished, I'm immediately getting in some kind of protein, carbs. But yeah, during it, I never find I really need too much.
Yeah. And then, like, the other thing with the goals, we've kind of seen it a bit recently. Like, do you get worried, like, putting them out there that they're so ambitious that people are going to, like, troll you and have a crack at you? Or you think that's part of the accountability for you to kind of train hard?
Yeah, I see it's fun. It's like motivation for me. I mean, yeah, they're ridiculous goals to think coming from like a 72-minute half marathon a year ago to then trying to run, yeah, like by the end of this year, hopefully get as close to 210 as we can. That like, obviously it's ridiculous. But yeah, I like the challenge, and I think if I can just stay healthy for and keep knocking out these week on week, I can see myself getting fitter. So yeah, I just take it as part of it.
Have you had anyone from the UK like accuse you of doping of anything or anything? Like they've watched her kind of leave the UK as a 15 or just sub 15 minute guy, and now they're seeing these results come in.
Only one of my mates jokingly, but I think when people realize that when I'm running like 15 minutes before, like, yeah, actually, I ran sort of 15:10 when I was training for MMA, and I was, yeah, 15 kg heavier, like all upper body muscle. And also, I'm running, so I was only running for fitness like until a year ago. So I was training at 2, 3 hours a day for fighting, and then getting out for like an easy run a bit. Like, even when I was in America, I was fully out there on a holiday effectively. And pretty much just like using the running to go out there, but then really I was there for MMA, for fighting. So just the difference that it makes then going all in on the running. I think it's, yeah, anyone would improve a lot if they made that switch.
Yeah, pretty much just tell them to check your Strava. Like
Exactly. I'm like
it's not like you're
the
just doing
proof's there.
manual uploads.
The data's there, exactly. The proof's on Strava, you can check it out.
Oh, that's good. What's the ratio of choice?
So I'm a Nike fanboy. I've always just worn them. I'm like scared to switch now because I've just worn them for so long. So I'm trying to get my hands on a pair of the Alpha 3s, but it's impossible out here. Firstly, they sell out instantly, and then my shoe size just doesn't seem to exist in Japan. Yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare trying to get my hands on them. So I'm stuck with some Vapor 3s at the moment. Which, if I can't get the Alphas, I'll probably race in them.
Yeah, they're both a great shoe though, aren't they? Like I always think if I was packing one in my hand luggage and one in my suitcase and one of them I misplaced, I'd be happy with the other option.
Oh yeah. I'm not complaining still. The Vapors are very good.
Yeah, and then second last one, like what are the other things you've learned from the Japanese running culture? Like we know about the small loops, we know about the big mileage. Do they train the same way as they race? So if it's like, hey, we're doing 10 by 1K, we're going to go out at 255, even though we think maybe 305 would be the best option, but then we'll just pop.
Nah, so this is interesting. This is why the racing thing's so different, surprising, because it couldn't be more opposite in training. In training, every single split is like metronomic, perfectly on pace, even throughout the session. And everyone, yeah, will be hitting the exact splits. So then I don't know what happens in the race. They just lose their head. Like, fair play, yeah, they go for it every time. And I guess maybe one of those times it comes off. That's kind of what they said. They're like, they basically take a gamble on the race day, and you do see like the guys coming through with some crazy
Oh,
times.
the winner of the
So maybe
sucker.
they yeah, like, or yeah, that student who ran exactly the 2:06. And then, yeah, so I guess like you miss some, they bomb out sometimes, but then that one time it comes together and they manage to maintain it, they absolutely pop off.
Yeah, okay. And then anything else that you've kind of observed?
I'd say it's super regimented, like disciplined. Maybe less so. Well, my group still is, but I've seen like videos from the like high school teams and university teams, and they'll do so. Even their easy jogging, like easy run, will be in a line, like no conversation around. It could even be on the inside of a track, like just on the grass bit, and just like endless laps around. It seems to just suck all the fun out of it. I could never get behind that, but it's super, like, even with my group, will if it's like the session starting at 6:30 in the morning, every single day at 6:30 it's starting. If you're late, you're missing the start. And it's again like in a line, everyone's in that line. Everyone will take a lap and then drop to the back. And like if someone's struggling, maybe they'll miss a lap, but then they'll wait for the train to come back and jump in again to help out. So it's very like team oriented in training. Like everyone is trying to help out the group, trying to help basically to get the session done. So even if someone's like a lower level or higher level, we'll always make sure we'll put a session together that everyone can get involved in. So you're not having loads of people doing all kinds of different runs, even though there's quite a fair big difference in ability within that group. But we do a lot of running together still. So I think that's a cool aspect.
I love that for workouts. There's just someone's in charge on the front, then it's your turn. I like that. So there's just no banter at all when just the easy jogging.
So the w that's what I've seen from the when I've watched the team. So I'll do the easy stuff on my own, because so a lot of my teammates, they also every morning will, it's like a part-time job, they'll pace. They act as like pacemakers for like casual runners. So the runners like pay them to take them around Yogi Park, effectively like training for them, maybe a 3-hour marathoner, 3:30 marathoner. And so they'll act as like a pacemaker for these whole groups of runners. So usually they're doing that, whereas I'll just go off and like do my easy run or whatever. But yeah, it's definitely during a session, no words whatsoever. Like you're locked in. No, yeah, no one's chatting during a tempo or anything.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great for me. I can run my mouth in the best of times.
It took a bit of getting used to, because
Yeah,
yeah, we're the same. Like back home, you would chat during a workout, definitely.
it's a bit
But
of a
you got
flex
to, I guess,
sometime,
you
isn't
get.
it?
So how easy is that? You can still chat away.
What about I assume a lot of the stuff we've been talking about when we've been talking about Japanese running culture is male and female as well. Like we've seen, I think the Japanese women are leaving three women off their team who are actually faster than the Australian record at the moment. Like, is their high mileage approach very much a male and female approach?
I think they've got, so just like the men have these teams, there's also the women's like university teams, corporate like sponsored teams, and there, yeah, the women are unreal. I think the top, I don't know so much about the women, so my group's only guys in it, so I don't know too much about how they train, but from like videos and stuff that I've seen, it seems like they're on pretty heavy mileage, like definitely higher than what would be like standard for a pro back in the West.
And it just seems like they're so strong. And you're often like it's other than Tanaka, like it's pretty rare to see. I'm sure there's others, but a global 15 5K Japanese lady, but they just seem to be so strong from that 10K to marathon distance.
Yeah, they're almost dissuaded from See, even guys that are quick in like high school that could end up being good 800 meter runners, 1500, that no one cares about that here. Like,
Yeah.
it's they're almost forced then up to the half marathon for the Hakone'eki then. So I'm sure they could have a lot better middle distance runners, but it just doesn't matter to them at all. It's all about the distance. So they get funneled up, and just by doing that big mileage, you end up getting so strong.
Yeah, that culture just gets them. Hey, our last one, Jake. I often ask our people we're interviewing if they're reading a book at the moment. Anything on the bedside table?
Oh, I'm not good with reading. I'm always a podcast man, so I'll occasionally listen to audio books. I read for Christmas, I got given the Charlie Spedding,
Oh yeah.
who's a British marathon runner. I don't know if you've read.
Yeah, I have. Is it
Very good
from
book.
last to
Yeah,
first? Is that what it's called?
that's it.
Yeah.
So that was the last book I read. Unreal, that one. That got me hyped up.
That is a great book. I'm going to revisit that. Thanks for reminding me because I haven't read it for years. It goes into a lot of his workouts and stuff too, doesn't it? The London marathon races and yeah, really nerdy for people who love running.
Oh yeah, absolutely running nerds. It's perfect. Also, have you read The Way of the Runner,
Yeah.
about the Japanese runner?
Adana Han Finn, is it? He's the same guy who did
That's it.
Running with the Kenyans. And then he's got a third one too, isn't he? Oh, The Rise of the Ultra Runner.
Ultra running, because that was what originally, when I was in America, I read that book. I knew nothing about Japanese running, and it was because of his book, The Way of the Runner, that I started getting interested in it and like wanted to find out about it. So that's a very good book that if people haven't read, should give a go.
Yeah, it's all his books. So even like I'm not too into ultra running, but even the ultra running one I found pretty good. I wonder if he's got a fourth one in the works. Because yeah, that'd be interesting. Obviously being pretty successful with the first three.
Yeah, I don't know where you'd go next. Yeah, it was good, the Kenya, Japan in an ultra.
Yeah.
And yeah, what's next to cover?
Yeah, that's it. It could be anything in the works there, I suppose. Jake, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed learning about Japanese running culture. Been blown away by your training. I wish you all the best. Gold Coast, we'll get to see you in person. We've got a live show up there, so we'll have to get you to our live show, and hopefully we can have a beer to celebrate the what are we calling it, the 2:12 to 2:14 result, somewhere in there.
Listen for that. That's the goal. We're going all in.
Missed it at Osaka, the 2:15, so I just reckon we just jump straight to the 2:12.
We'll say that was ticked off. We had that in the bank.
You
No problem.
can't go doing
Infantry
that. There's nothing. That's a
drill.
big trigger for me when it's like, oh, I was in this shape, but it didn't happen. It's
I know,
like
I
you
know.
do it or you don't do it kind of thing.
I'm only joking, I'm
Yeah,
only
I know.
joking.
I know
But
you
if
are.
Gold Coast doesn't work out, we're going straight to 210. We're skipping
If
over.
Gold Coast didn't work out, you were probably in 2:12 shape anyway. Just didn't get a chance to make it happen.
Exactly.
And then the listeners, you're putting everything on Strava and a bit of stuff on Instagram as well, both under your name. Or is the Instagram Run to Japan?
The ran to Japan. That's the Insta, and then my name, Jake Baraclough on Strava. But yeah, if you're running nerd, you can get on that. Check the mileage.
Mate, people get annoyed when I upload warm-up session cooldown. You know how it comes up as three uploads? So I can't imagine
Oh
what
yeah.
some people think about some of your uploads on their Strava feed. You must be taking up a bit of space on people's feeds.
I'm absolutely spamming away. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people have probably unfollowed with the amount of running.
Sometimes you've got to do like I noticed I was doing a second take. I'm like, hang on, is this the same date? Because it's, occasionally, a lot of the people I follow, it might be a, 70 minutes or 60 minutes in the morning and then a 30 minutes in the afternoon. And you're like, oh yeah, that's AM, PM. But with you, it's just like, oh, that's a big AM and a big PM. It's, yeah, you got to start checking your dates there.
Yeah, that's it. The double is 13K. That's usually the evening easy one. So it started to get up a bit. Yeah, it's not quite so much of a jog.
Yeah, that's good. Well, good luck to you. And yeah, massive thanks for your time. Yeah, I know you're about to go back to class now. So yeah, good luck getting that Japanese language nailed.
Oh, yeah. Cheers, mate. Yeah, hope you see you at Gold Coast.
Will
Thanks for the
do.
chat.